You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Tuesday, May 4th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Well, Twins lose tonight in extra innings. Another tough loss. If you were to add up all these tough losses, I think you could have enough for a full season's worth. Honestly, like just so many bad losses this year. And you know what? Unfortunately, maybe fortunately that I'm not like, you know, when you burn your hand on an oven so many times that you lose those like nerves, you lose the skin cells or whatever, and you can't feel it anymore and you get numb. I'm not there yet, but maybe that's a good thing. Again, that I'm not there yet because I'm still feeling the sting from these losses, from these tough losses. And J-Hap put the Twins in a position to win tonight. No question about it. One-run ball. He was fantastic. Again, he's been the Twins' probably most consistent best pitcher along with Michael Pineda. Pineda had a stinker in there too. But, I mean, Happer gave him a chance to win. Byron Buxton hits a two-run homer off Kyle Gibson. Gibson making his target field return tonight. He was absolutely terrific tonight, was Kyle Gibson. Just two home runs was really all the Twins. I mean, they had a hit and two home runs basically in that game, a solo homer and a two-run shot from Buxton and a solo homer from Williams, Astudillo. But, I mean, Gibby was great all night. Awesome sinker-slider combo. I think he's a guy that the Twins should be looking at the deadline to bring home. I think that would be super fun. But, you know, I thought he was great tonight. He's been great all year. So if you thought, like, why are the Twins losing to Kyle Gibson? Gibby's been great all year. He pitched really well against the White Sox. I think that was his last start or two starts ago. But he's been, I mean, he's been fantastic for Texas this year. Add him to the list. Like, Lance Lynn leaves Minnesota and was great in Texas, too. And then Kyle Gibson leaves on a very similar deal. And he was bad last year, but so far this year, Gibby's been awesome. Always has had that good slider, but he's spotting it really well these days and beating a lot of good hitters with it. Gibby was great. Buxton made a great catch in center field to rob a hit. And this was just another Byron Buxton game. I mean, April player of the month. He's been the best player in baseball this year. It's very, very easy to see every night why he has like high wins above replacement numbers, why he's so highly regarded, because he does so many things on a baseball field that help you win. And I know Rocco said that too, and I just agree with that. Like, I think he does so many things out there for the team that can help them win. Speaking of Rocco, he's up right now in the post game. He's getting lambasted on Twins Twitter again, as he does in losses and as he does in bullpen explosions. I think, and this is, you know, you don't want to just gloss over what happened in the first 7-8 innings of this game, but the Twins, they've put themselves in a spot here, and I talked about this last night. If you listened to yesterday's show, after the Twins won 6-5, but it was a squeaker because the bullpen's weak. If the Twins, they can't win, they can't score 6+ runs every night. You're just not going to do it. You're going to run into good starting pitchers like Gibby right now. I mean, like Gibby. Alex Kirilloff's out with a wrist injury. Luis Arraez is out with a concussion. I mean, they're not going to score 6+ runs every night, especially not with those guys. They're two best left-handed bats against a righty with a good slider. Like, it's just not, it's not going to happen all the time. And I talked about this last night. The Twins have gotten by in the last week when they won 4 out of 5. They won 4 out of 6 now still, but they'd gotten by in the last week because they had been blowing teams out, you know, scoring a lot of runs. They don't even put their bullpen in position to blow games. And that's reminding me a lot of 2019. And I think what happened in 2019 is they would blow teams out so badly, and then they wouldn't be forced to go to their bullpen in those games. And then as games started to get tighter in the summer, and also guys started to unravel a little bit, and Rodgers was overused because he was the only guy they could rely on, they started to blow games because these games would get tight and they would blow them and their offense wouldn't be able to support them every night. And that's what I think we're starting to see early on this year. You're seeing the cracks in it already. And I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing, you see the biggest weakness on the team. It's a glaring weakness. Like, it's obviously the biggest weakness on the team. And it's a bad thing because it's costing them games. You know, it's hurting them right now to let this play out. I think a lot of things have gone into this. I think Rocco has gone into this. I know people are quick to jump and blame him and solely him for this. and especially tonight. But this is a situation that needs to be broken down, and I'm glad I have this platform to break it down. So you have the ninth inning. Taylor Rogers is in a 3-1 lead. Taylor Rogers closes that game he's got, you know, the bottom half of the order. Taylor Rogers closes that game 98% of the time in 2019, I would say. That's a rough estimate. So first, Rog doesn't close the game. I mean, there's your number one. This game gets tied up in the ninth. If the one guy, and it's honestly been the case, and this was the case in 2019 too, that's what reminds me of the first half, the one guy that you can rely on is Taylor Rogers, so that you feel like semi-confident in. I talked about this last night again. The one guy I feel semi-confident in is Taylor Rogers. Like, if you were to make the bullpen trust hierarchy. And Hansel Robles pitched really well tonight too in the sixth and seventh inning. That was great to see. He's throwing strikes. I mean, when he throws strikes, he's electric. So maybe he gets pushed back into a more high leverage role. But the thing is, like, they need arms, right? Jay Happ had a high pitch count. He's over 100 pitches. He needed to be taken out. And you know, they had to clean up a lot of innings. Rocco had to make up a lot of innings, and he got an inning and a third out of Robles, or an inning and two thirds, which was great. And you got Duffy and Rogers in the back end. That's just the way you set it up. You get through it in the eighth. You bring in Rogers to face the lefty Gallo. He strikes him out with a runner on second. Just how you drew it up. You bring Raj back out for the ninth to get the save, and he blows it. I mean, it was set up perfectly. And that is a case of players not getting the job done. I mean, that was set up. They were set up to win the game, up 3-1 in the ninth inning with their closer on the mound. You need to win those games. You should win those games. Good teams win those games. It'll happen where you blow them, but it's happened too much this year. And then came the 10th. Let's talk about it after the break. Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. This is amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like the Robin Hood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added the baseball to the platform. So check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is simple, as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game is compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. And two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You'll be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. So 10th inning after the game's tied. First of all, the Rangers, I think Chris Woodward, their manager, the Rangers manager, has made some just like really head-scratching decisions in this series, batting lefties back-to-back in the lineup where the Twins have been able to exploit it. Bringing in a lefty to face Byron Buxton and Nelson Cruz in the bottom of the ninth, I think is a really, I mean, go at it, and he did, and they got the outs. But, I mean, that's a bold decision too. So they bring in the lefty in the bottom of the ninth. Twins just go down punch drunk. Nothing. Absolutely nothing in the bottom of the ninth. 1-2-3 inning. Polanco strikes out to end it. And it just seems like they got the wind knocked out of them. Like they got sucker punched. What we've seen in game is that when that happens to them, and I get it, it happens to teams, they've been unable to put it behind them and just trying to go out and win the game in the bottom of the ninth. They don't. This has to go into 10. And here's the situation. Robles had thrown. Duffy had thrown. Rodgers had thrown. Those are probably your three highest leverage guys right now, honestly. Like, four might be Stashak, mixed in there with Theobar and Alcala. I mean, I don't know if they have a clear hierarchy. The thing with Jorge Alcala that people, I think, really need to understand, and that I've noticed and that I've heard and that I've watched since he made his debut for the Twins in 2019, is such an important thing with him. When you have this three-batter minimum especially, the fact that Jorge Alcala has given up an OPS over 1,000 to left-handed hitters in over, I think, 50 plate appearances in his career now is not insignificant. He gets crushed by lefties. You don't have to even look very far to see that he gets crushed by lefties. I mean, he gets crushed by lefties almost every outing. The numbers support that. And that's such a difficult spot because every lineup is going to have, like, lefties in it. You know, every lineup is going to have lefties, and Alcala gives up homers to bad lefties even. Like, he's just not reliable. And so you have two lefties coming up in the 10th inning back-to-back. And I don't think – here's the – like, Alcala's got electric stuff. I think the argument there is, like, stop looking at the numbers and take the guy with better stuff. I'm a big platoon guy. Like, I would prefer a left-hander there, but – I think when you look at your bullpen and you say, what are we giving away just from this guy being left-handed? You know, when you look at the bullpen, you see Caleb Theobar and Brandon Waddell. And in no way, shape, or form has Theobar been locked down on lefties either. I mean, his curveball is more of a looper than a slider. And the slider is the effective pitch against lefties because it, you know, darts away from them. So in no way am I, like, super confident in bringing Theobar out there. And then you got Brandon Waddell, who's got that slider, looked really good in the spring, but he's still a minor league pitcher. So I think in that case, you look at your bullpen and you say, all right, we want to go left-handed. We prefer to do that with a couple lefties coming up. But what are we giving away? We're giving away a 99-mile-an-hour fastball from Jorge Alcala. You know, they're giving away a big-time slider from Jorge, too. Like, they aren't. It's not a clean trade just because Waddell is left-handed. And so I understand the gripe with that, and I don't think it was a good spot to be in. Like, I don't think it was a very fortuitous position for Rocco, and I think that goes back to the front office and how their biggest offseason addition in the bullpen was Alex Colomé. They spent $7.5 million on the bullpen this offseason on Colomé and Hansel Robles. Like, they spent $7.5 million on the bullpen. And you look around and, like, not that I thought they should have spent $54 million on Liam Hendricks, but just to compare, the White Sox spent $54 million on Liam Hendricks. You know, I know those numbers. It's around the right numbers, and Hendricks might have been 53. But the point is that they made it a point this offseason that they weren't going to invest heavily in the bullpen, that they believed they could manufacture a good major league bullpen. That's all good and well until it's not working. You know, that's all good and well until your best offseason addition, Alexander Colomé, has been so bad that you can no longer use him. And two decisions I support here. I supported the signing of Alexander Colomé. I thought it was a good signing to add to the back of the bullpen. I look like a lamb now, or a sheep. Another decision that I support is not having him pitch in high leverage anymore, or really not having him pitch in any leverage anymore. I don't even know if they thought about going to him tonight, and I agree with that too. But here's the deal, Derek Falvey, Thad Levine, in the Twins front office. If that's the case, you need help. And if your help is a carousel of Sean Anderson and Brandon Waddell and Ian Jabeau, I just don't think that that's a viable solution, and it's especially not a viable solution when Taylor Rogers can't close the game. So that's my point here. A lot of things going into this, right? You have Rogers' inability to close the game. You got shaky stuff from Robles, who's good tonight, but, you know, shaky stuff from Robles and Duffy in their last handful of outings. And then you have, on top of that, questionable managerial decisions, and people are going to take that whole 100% and put it on Rocco. It's not 100% on Rocco, but he does have some blame in that. And then you have this whole other branch, which I think should be taking the biggest chunk of the pie, is Derek Falvey, Thad Levine in the front office, because this is what they wanted. This is what they built. They put this bullpen out there for Rocco to utilize, and they put him in that position tonight to not know what to do, really, or not know how to make the call between Waddell and Alcala. Like, do I think it was the right call? Probably not, but there aren't a lot of options there, and that's why I wasn't shocked that Waddell got brought in, because I thought it was a close call. I probably would have gone Alcala just because the stuff's better, but that's hindsight bias too. I thought it was close, honestly, and you might just like scoff at that, but the lefty matchup's big, and because Alcala is so bad against lefties, I'm going to hesitate to do that if I'm Rocco. A lot of blame to go around here tonight. A lot of blame to go around in these first 29 games for the Twins as they, you know, fall to 11-17. Let's look forward. I mean, this sucks. What can the Twins do now, and what should they do? And I talked about this last night. My patience is running thin. What needs to be done to improve this bullpen and to make sure this team takes the next step forward? BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball are all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline's your online sportsbook experts. With Major League Baseball, there's action every single day. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 50% off on your first deposit or 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Excuse me. Thank you, BetOnline, for sponsoring Locked On and for sponsoring Locked On Twins. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert, the fastest and easiest way. Use promo code LOCKEDON.
RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked on there. How did you hear about us, box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Shane Green. Shane Green was a really good reliever for Detroit in 2017. Not so great in 2018, and then was phenomenal in 2019. Gets traded to Atlanta at the deadline. 2019 on the whole, 2.30 ERA, 9.2 strikeouts per nine. Just really good. And then again in 2020 for Atlanta was great. And he remains a free agent, right-handed reliever, 6'4", 200 pounds. He's 32 years old. He's been there, done that, and he's a free agent. That's the most important part here. It's a no-brainer for me. And there was a report from John Heyman that Green is talking to teams. Now, we don't know like if he's ready to jump on a deal right now. He's probably waiting to see the best deal that comes together. But the Twins should be right in the thick of that. I think this is a time now when you've seen it. And listen, I have my leash is pretty long for just like things happening. I mean, this is a long season. You're going to see a lot of crazy losses. You're going to see bullpens blow leads. It's going to happen this year. They're not going to close every game. But it's happened way too much early on here, and the record is in peril enough for me to say, okay, this is a problem. And it's so clearly a problem. If you just continue to ignore it, that's another problem in itself. They took this strategy in 2019. They kind of just let it play out, you know, and they were lucky that they got a really early lead in the division, but they let it play out. And last year they had Tyler Clippard, Sergio Romo, Trevor May. They had so many guys in the back end, veterans who helped them in that bullpen. I mean, it's hard to look back now knowing what, if we knew what we know now, I think the Twins should have been way in on Trevor May. You know, I think they should have saved the money that they used for Cole May, obviously. Maybe save the money they used for Robles, but the jury's still out on him. I still like his stuff. And should have tried to make a run at Trevor May. And we don't know the circumstances on that. But it's so clear that their arm's short in the bullpen, that they need another right-handed reliever. And just a guy they can rely on, period, right now. It's such a clear problem. It's not too early. It's not too early to make calls. It's not too early to want to sign Shane Green and make a heavy push for Shane Green. I mean, this is desperate times call for desperate measures. I don't think the 11-17 record is a desperate measure. I mean, you're still only six games below 500, but the bullpen is a desperate measure. You know, that's certainly been an issue. But, you know, I think the Twins have played better baseball overall for 8 out of 9 innings in most games, and they've been so bad in the ninth inning this year, and that's a problem. You know, they got to figure that out. They're playing better baseball. you know, they got a left-hander on the mound tomorrow for Texas, Yang. Doesn't seem like he has a lot of experience. Lewis Thorpe's going to pitch for the Twins. I like, again, like, this is an interesting matchup with the Rangers because their best bats are left-handed in Lau and Joey Gallo, but they have Adolis Garcia in the middle of them, and he's whooped on the Twins this series so far, a right-handed, powerful hitter in the middle of those guys. And I like left-handers against the Tigers in this series, and it hasn't panned out, but it's only a couple of games, and I think Lewis Thorpe is going to be in a position to succeed tomorrow too. And it's not, you don't love, I mean, you don't feel the most confidence in the world in Lewis Thorpe, especially when he's only given you one start this year, and he was pretty good in Los Angeles or in Anaheim against the Angels, but I think this is a good matchup for him. And then you look forward to Thursday. Jordan Lyles has a 7.39 ERA for the Rangers this year. But I think the biggest thing to come out of tonight is not the loss. Like, the biggest thing is how long is Alex Kirilloff going to be out, right? How long is Luis Urias going to be out? It sounds like at least a week for Louis. I mean, AK, this is concerning. He's going to see a hand specialist tomorrow. He had wrist injury in the minors in 2019. I mean, this is not a – and Pat Royce, he was tweeting. I don't know if this is reporting or he was just saying, but he said Kirilloff's going to be out for a while. And it's like, wow. I mean, that's a huge blow for what he's given them in the middle of the lineup. And it's just one of those blows, like, they just keep taking them. They keep taking them. They take one step forward and two steps back. It seems the two steps back, injuries to Louis and Alex Kirilloff. And why that's significant, too, is not only because those are two of the best hitters on the team, but also those are the two best left-handed hitters on the team, and now they're going to be in a mismatch against righties all day long. So, I mean, we'll wait to hear on Kirilloff. That's certainly concerning, and we hope he's back soon. Also, like, wrist injury again is kind of funky and concerning too, but that just sucks, man. Like, that's the biggest takeaway from today is that he doesn't play. He's got the wrist soreness, and we'll see what the hand specialist says, but that's not good. Louis's not good either. I mean, they need Louis, and Kepler let off tonight, wasn't good. No one was really good outside of Buxton and Astudillo on one swing tonight offensively, and I can't hold that against him again because Gibby was so good. But you know, it's, you're going to need guys to step up. If Louis and AK are out for a prolonged period, you're going to need Kepler to step up. The good news is that it's the Rangers, it's the Tigers, but then they got the White Sox next week, you know, in a week, and maybe they'll be without Kirilloff and Rise in that series, which kind of levels the playing field with the White Sox being without Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez. I mean, this is just not, it's not ideal to lose those two guys right now. In the middle of what you're trying to turn this thing around, four out of the last six, you blow a lead tonight, but come back strong tomorrow and try to take this series three out of four in the next 2 days, and go take two out of three from a Detroit team that just loses every night. It seems it's just horrible this year. So hopefully AK's okay. You know, hopefully Louis's back sooner rather than later, and hopefully this bullpen can be figured out soon, because it is clearly an issue, and it's clearly something that Twins fans are sick of watching, and I'm sick of watching. Thanks for listening tonight. Have a great day. Go Twins. If you're, you know, I'm sorry about Apple Podcasts. There's been a problem with Lockdown and Apple Podcasts, but we're still on Spotify, Megaphone. So continue to listen to the show. Thank you for listening to the show, and we'll be back after the game tomorrow night. Thanks a bunch. Go Twins.